Hello and welcome to the Book Echoes podcast, the podcast on making great books while making creative lives that work for us. I'm your host, author Connie B. Dowell. And today I'm coming to you guys from the car, actually. You might have heard a little honk there a minute ago. Some days the kids just will not be quiet for me to record these intros and exits. So I went out to the car, which actually has not so bad sounds when people aren't honking in the parking lot. But you do what you gotta do in these strange pandemic times. And frankly, even in regular times when you've got small children, you just do what you gotta do to keep the show going. So today I am coming to you guys from the first week of our family's summer break. So my husband's not teaching, and for a short while, he's not doing graduate school work. And I am gearing up for a really busy, busy summer. I've got one mystery novel that needs to get totally out the door by the end of the summer, another that needs to have some headway made, some other smaller projects, and work on my editing and consulting business, which, by the way, if you are looking to break your writer's block and you want someone to talk it out with, I am offering now break your block consultations. These are a joy to do, and they really draw on everything that I've learned as an editor and as a writing center tutor. So just head on to my website, bookechoes.com/services, and mention the podcast for 20% off. Now, moving on to today's episode, we've got Tanya Duncan Ellis back on, and today she talks about her extensive experience doing live author events. Now, unfortunately, here in the beginning of the summer in 2020, live author events pretty much been canceled for the foreseeable future, but eventually we will get back out there. And these really can become a joy to do, even if you didn't, I didn't think that I would like them at first, but now it really is something that I missed and something I'd hoped to do more of in the spring and summer of 2020. So unfortunately, we can't jump out there and do live author events today. But now is the perfect time to start planning, start getting ready for when these events eventually do open back up. And have a listen. It's a great lesson. Lots of great tips on how to start small and build up from there. Let's go right into it with Tanya. So today on the podcast, we have a recurring guest, children's author Tanya Duncan Ellis, author of the Sophie Washington series of books. Welcome again to the podcast, Tanya.
Hey, Connie, how are you doing? Good to see you again.
Good to see you again, too. So would you mind reminding our listeners who might not have heard your previous episode a little bit about you and your ever-growing series of books?
Great. Well, I am a children's author based in Houston, Texas. My books are the 10-book Sophie Washington series that chronicle the life of an 11-year-old girl, Sophie, and her diverse group of friends. She does things like participate in the school spelling bee, stand up to the school bully, try to fit in with her friends. And all the books have a Texas twist because since she lives in Houston, she sees alligators in the neighborhood. She goes to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, takes trips to NASA, goes fishing in Galveston Bay. So the books capture the life here in the Houston area, while also helping the young reader resolve problems they may have as they watch Sophie and her friends handle issues that they go through in their lives. And then, as I said earlier, there are 10 books in the series. My most recent release is Sophie Washington, My BFF, that has Sophie having problems in her friendship relationship with her bestie, Chloe. So in the book, there is cyberbullying and other little issues going on in this friendship relationship. And yeah. So in the books, middle grade geared to children ages 8 to 12.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that is, that fact is relevant to the topic we're discussing today. Even though we're recording this in the middle of a pandemic when events are not going on, but you have a lot of experience with doing live author events.
Yes.
Yes. So
quite a few events. I can't probably have to sit down to tally up how many I've participated in.
All right. So maybe to give listeners kind of an idea of the breadth of your experience. So we're talking school visits, library visits, other kinds of events?
I've done various school visits. I've participated in book trade show events like the Texas Book Festival in Austin, Texas, Children's Festival in Baltimore, Maryland. And those had thousands of visitors. Those were larger scale events. And then I've also, prior to the pandemic, I've participated in weekly farmers market events. I generally averaged maybe 2 to 3 live events every 2 weeks, I'd say. So I may be up to 5 or 6 events a month during high season, which might be during like holiday seasons and things like that. But at least once a week, I'd be at some live event.
Oh, that's really interesting. Even farmers markets.
Right, those were actually great. And I've actually had really great success at those events because I am an independent author, a self-published author. And so at those events, I interact with a lot of local teachers and librarians. A lot of them frequent those farmers markets, so I get to talk to them, share my work with them. They take them back to the classroom or libraries, and that got me school visits. And then eventually I became an approved vendor in my school system, my school district system here in the Houston area, and I attribute that to my participation in these live events where I built the relationships with many people in my community.
Great. That's a really interesting path that I would not have expected.
Right. So, and I would sell so many events at these farmers markets because people are shopping for their vegetables and they generally will bring a child with them. And so they come and talk with me and learn about my books. And then they like them and they may come back and buy more because I have 10 in the series.
Yeah.
So, and then because I'm the only author there, that's a great venue for an independent author because I would sell more events at some of the in the holiday markets because I live in a pretty large community here in Houston area. So I'd sell up to 100 books at maybe a Christmas holiday market.
Yeah. Wow. And not, I really hadn't considered that as an option. I wonder how well it would work for adult fiction. I'd have to talk to somebody else about that, but I'd love to hear, what your recommendations are for an author who's maybe just getting started trying to find live events.
It depends. In my community, we have many events, so when I started promoting my books, it was in October. So I started at a larger book festival, the National Black Book Festival in the Houston area. And then I met authors there. Actually, that was what encouraged me to start participating in more of these events because they were sharing their experiences at events like the Texas Book Festival. And they said, you need to do that, you know. So I started doing that. And then I started realizing, as it got into the holiday season, I went to some local markets where I was the only book, and I saw that people were actually buying more of my books at these non-bookish events than at the book festivals. I mean, I still sold at the book festivals, but I actually sold more at places like that. And then I would get to really meet people in my local community who might invite me. I got invited to churches or different events that they may have to speak and bring my books. So that's been a really great opportunity for me. And really, even that's what started me getting invited to more and more schools, because I was meeting the teachers and librarians because they like going to these events, these little markets and things for some. They love them.
Yeah, that is a good point. The network, even setting aside the sales gains that you could have, the networking. Indie authors in particular often think of because our business is so much online, we think online only, but in-person networking opportunities like that can really be valuable.
Yeah, and also for me, because I'm a children's author, I sell books than ebooks. I sell some ebooks, but the majority of my sales come from print sale. So in my books are illustrated, they're black and white illustrations. So even though they're chapter books for older kids, they have little illustrations. But people prefer that physical book for the child. So it may depend on, you know, what you write is how well you may do.
Yeah. But
for me, this has been the best way to get my work out there. And then another thing I found is when I'm at the events, I'm also meeting the readers, my little children, and I really love interacting with them. That's why I'm a children's author. I love children. So I really enjoy meeting them, interacting with them, learning about what they like and what they're going through. And as far as marketing, I was able to take photos with my readers. They want to get pictures with me there. And so that actually helped grow my book online, my book sales, because I would take pictures at the events and then share those. So that increased awareness of my books. And then at the events, the parents may post pictures of their child with my book. And it was growing my audience as well. So working those live events has been very beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. And even thinking about those smaller events, things like farmers markets, I know that the big events, tabling fees can be pretty significant, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the smaller events, I've had some where the tables were maybe $25. You're out there to, you know, maybe 3 hours, 3-4 hours. And here in Houston, it can get hot, so you're standing in the hot sun. But there are not many financial barriers to entry because it's pretty low cost. I always made back my money. But a big event, you know, you may not do that. So the fees are low. I've sold more at some of those, but not to discount a large event. Those are great for networking as well. And the exposure can be worth that larger fee that you pay.
Absolutely. And actually one of the first live events I did was like a local street festival that did have a big arts component, but and this is something for folks to check out whenever street festivals happen again. All the arts tables the fee was waived. It was totally free.
Ooh, that's awesome. Yes.
Oh, I had to bring my own table, but I didn't care.
Yeah, that's great. That is one thing about these events, these smaller events. I have to bring a table and tent, and I don't like carrying all that stuff. But so that's one downside, because some of the bigger events, they have it for you. You know, your table and everything is there, and you don't have to set up anything.
Yeah, that is nice to have. So if an author is, you know, maybe starting one of these smaller events, what should they maybe think about besides just bringing a physical table, but arranging the table and the space around the table to look attractive?
Okay. I use Vistaprint to order signage and different things, and they're very cost effective. They frequently have 50% off sales and different sales. So you need to have a nice tablecloth, a professional looking tablecloth, and you can have one designed with your book logo. I would recommend that for a professional look, and then get you a nice banner sign. And also online, well, it depends on how, if you only have one or two books, you can go to a craft store like Michael's or Hobby Lobby and get a little, you know, the little display stands you put a photo on and put your book on those so it looks attractive on your table. So that's really what you need. You need a nice tablecloth. Either I started out with just a solid colored tablecloth and my banner signs, and I got a poster board sign that I put up. And you can get those things designed inexpensively on Vistaprint, and they actually help you if you're not savvy with that. They'll go through it and pretty much even do it for you. And you can have something for maybe $150 or less, a nice attractive table set up. So you just need a nice sign, your tablecloth, some stand. And as I got more books, as I wrote more books, I ordered on Amazon a book stand that's an attractive stand, and I have that there. And for me, because I'm a children's author, I'll put some candy out, a little bowl of candy to attract the children. And I also have a list to increase my email sign up. So I'll give them a free bookmark if they sign up on my email list. So I have that there.
Yeah, that the email list, especially for the big events, that can be more valuable than the actual sales you get on the day.
Right. And then I've seen some people do a raffle. I've thought of doing that at when I was going to go to an event that was canceled, but I didn't get to try that out. You could also maybe say, put your business card in for a raffle. And I also will offer my book. My first book in my series is called Queen of the Bee, where the character wears a little crown. And so I'll get some inexpensive crowns, and if they buy the book, they get the crown. And then they're wearing that walking around. So that's kind of advertising your book. One lady I know, her book was on cats, and she gave little cat ears. Of course, these are children's authors, you know. Mm-hmm. Children are walking around, and people are saying, oh, where did you get that? So that's attracting people to her table.
Yeah, that could work for like adult, maybe fantasy, sci-fi, or even historical as well, especially in like a comic convention situation.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are wearing weird things and they go, oh, the table's giving that out. I got to go over there.
Yeah, so you need to kind of plan that and come up with some little giveaway or token that may attract people. That's a good way to generate traffic to your table at the event.
Yeah, I also find it interesting, and to something we maybe should point out, that you're giving away a physical item in exchange for the email address, which probably would play better than, here, give me your email and I'll send you something later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, then that would be probably a logistical nightmare if you had to deal with looking through and mailing them off something. Like, I wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't consider it for like mailing them a physical item, but I know some authors will collect the physical email address on a piece of paper and then have Book Funnel deliver an ebook.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Not set up with Book Funnel, but that's a great idea.
But I wonder if having like a physical thing they can take away maybe makes it feel more special. Like, and you could even do that with Book Funnel, because you can get download codes and print them on cards. And if you had those printed physical cards, then you've got both the convenience of the ebook that they can download later and the physical item that they can take away with them.
Right, that's good. And one thing I did, I did a promotion last year where I had these little backpack or drawstring bags, and I had some left over, so I gave them like a book pack, and then they could get that drawstring bag. And then that was kind of an advertisement for my series as they're walking around because it had the illustration cover on that. That book funnel sounds great because you're not really paying anything except whatever fee you have.
Yeah.
Book funnel. And that's what you probably use anyway to administer your ebooks if you had some other kind of
to get any anybody signing up for the email list online, if you want to give them a freebie. There are some other services, but I find BookFunnel is the best one to do that.
Yeah, I need to look into that because I've heard a lot about BookFunnel, but I haven't used that.
So let's see, we talked about setting up the table and some of the freebies you can give away and the power of the email list. Are there any kind of big don'ts that you would think of for events like this?
I don't know too many don'ts. It's been really, those events have been very successful for me. So I'm trying to think of some bad thing that happened or I don't know. I guess just you've got to kind of have crowd control when you're at your table and know how to gently move people along if they're too long. I've had people want to come and talk to me. They're not really buying anything and they're talking on and there's others behind them interested in purchasing. But that's just, you got to be kind of like a salesperson there at the table and know how to gently move people. Mm-hmm. I guess that's something you want to watch for. You don't want them to leave unhappy. So be cognizant of that and make them feel like you really enjoy their company, but you need to move on to the next person.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's probably a skill that you develop more with time.
I'm just trying to think of do's and don'ts. I always bring a little bit more inventory than I may need just in case, because I don't want to run out of books. It's better to have to bring some home than to not have enough. And then I'd recommend maybe getting some kind of plastic case to put your books in. I've had one event where it started raining and my books, they were okay, but that was like, oh no, my books are going to be damaged out here. So that's nice to get one of those little flat plastic containers to put them in when you bring them. I get a carrying cart, you know, to keep yourself from being injured. So make sure when you go out, if you're going to these smaller festivals, because you're going to have to bring everything in yourself. I try to talk to the other vendors around me if I have time and learn about their work. And one don't I'd say, or one do, is make sure you bring change and money, singles and fives, small bills, so that you can make change for those who may want to pay in cash. Mm-hmm. Because one event where the person who was beside me kept disturbing me when I was trying to talk to customers because he did not bring cash and he was trying to interrupt me to get me to give him change every 5 minutes. So that was a little bit annoying. So make sure you have everything that you need as far as your change. I use a Square, but now I'm trying to move towards Zelle or things like that for payment, so there's no fee. So just make sure you have options for them to pay in different ways and that you know how to use them. And even with the Square, that you know what to do if the Wi-Fi goes down, how to manually mm-hmm. enter payments, because that's happened to me. And then I didn't know I was bothering other people because I didn't know how to collect the payment. So I just try to be prepared and just have everything. Bring snacks and water to have in case things are busy and you're not able to leave. I've had one event where I nearly felt like I was going to pass out because I had so many people coming and I was by myself and then I didn't have time to eat. So yeah, I always try to bring water, snacks, and things like that. But I really enjoy live events. I hope that when I really miss those events, because it's a time for me, most of the time I'm kind of isolated writing and by myself. So it's a time for me to interact with my readers. And I enjoy that. So I really miss that. So I hope that we'll be able to get back to that in the next year or so, or next 6 months or so.
Yeah, I hope so too. They are fun, and it's nice to get out and talk to people and to see your readers and really get that real-time response. I think you had a lot of good tips for those do's and don'ts. There's one more that's occurred to me that I'm just going to add here, is that when you get set up, figure out who the security person is and how to get a hold of them quickly. My first live event, I had someone who wanted to turn the conversation around into something that was not about the books on the table, and he would not leave. So eventually he did leave, but the whole time I was thinking, okay, I don't see the security person. Nobody really instructed me what to do if this happens. Am I going to call the police right now? That can be a little scary. So if, when you get set up, somebody should tell you about where these things are and what to do if somebody is harassing you, but they may not, so be sure to ask.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Because the smaller events I've been to, sometimes you'll have police kind of milling around, maybe one officer, because they're not that big. Yeah, generally you'll see an officer, and that's true. I need to take heed with that tip as myself.
Yeah. Hopefully it never happens to any of you listening, but it's a thing that could happen.
Yeah. Live events are fun. And then I really love school visits, because that's when I do a presentation in classrooms and usually take a Q&A time with kids, getting all their questions. So those are always sweet times. And again, that I just recommend making sure you know how all your equipment works. I bring in my own laptop and also a memory stick just in case. And I just bring extra of everything. I bring books in case they need to purchase some. Those are not, usually I get there early in case there are audiovisual problems, because I use a PowerPoint presentation. Myself times I've had times where things didn't work, or we had to go to a different room or go to a basement or something.
Yeah, this is a good tip to always get there early and assume that something is going to go wrong, because when you think it's not going to, that's the time it does.
Right. Always prepare. Be prepared, Girl Scout or Boy Scout.
We touched back a minute on book sales. How a common question I think folks have when they're getting ready for their first live event is, how many books do I bring?
It really depends on the event and crowd. I usually bring maybe 50 books. I just bring about 50, sometimes more. But it really depends. Like when I go to the Texas Book Festival, I generally sell more. So I really have a hard and fast rule for that. But I'd say maybe 50 books. See, it's better to bring some home than be there and not have enough. I mean, you may not sell that many, but it just depends. And it depends on, like, if I'm going to an event that has a lot of children, but I try to really make sure I target where I'm going to. That's a don't, I'd say. One thing I've learned, like, I'll go to some areas and I'm like, I've been here 4 hours and didn't sell, and this is taking up my whole day. So I kind of target the areas where I know there'll be the children in the demographic. Because I had one area in Houston I know don't go there because it's mostly grandparents with younger babies. So they are not interested in my book. They're not going to buy it. You know, they come by and talk to me, but I don't really sell much in that area. I've done a couple events in that area and never sold. So I said, I go more in my own community because they're the age of the characters and they're really interested in the books and the issues that the books cover. So I would really target where you're participating. Don't just go anywhere. Look at the area and see if it fits the demographic. If you're a mystery writer, if there are a lot of little old ladies or people who need that, you know, that may be where you want to go.
Yeah. That is a good point. Maybe don't try to sell your mystery novel at a comic convention, which I've done. Not as many mystery readers there, but so you mentioned you that 50 books, it's hard to gauge on like how many books to bring.
Right, it's hard to have a hard and fast rule.
It really is.
I know I usually bring about, that's like a little, a box for me of my, so I'll just bring that. And then some of the events, like when I go to the Texas Book Festival, that's 2 days and they have up to 20,000 visitors. So I know I'm going to sell more there. So I bring more to those events. But if it's a smaller event, I may bring about 50. Yeah. That should be good.
Yeah. Proportionally, how do you spread that out? Because you've got 10 books in your series.
Right. I may bring like 15 each or something. That's more than 50. I didn't have 10 and I had nine. And then one's a holiday book. I don't always bring it. I don't know. I mean, you seem more mathematical with this than I am, but I get about 10 each. But if you had a single title and you're a new author, I would think you'd be safe with 50 books, depending on the event you're going to and how many people.
Yeah.
I'd rather have too many with me than too few, because then you don't want to lose out on the sale.
Yeah. I wondered if you brought more of book one than you did of the others.
Okay, this is another point. Not really, because I will sell them at a discount at an event because I want to give them. And so my pricing is a little cheaper at events than online, than what they could get online. And I'll sell packs. So I'll say, in my books, they're little paperbacks, about 100 pages each. So I'll say, if you get five or more, they're five each, or I'll make it where it's convenient for them to spend like $25, $30, or $30, you know, a nice round number. So that encourages them. Usually they'll buy packs because then they're in a series, so they usually want, the kids generally will want more than one. So I make it worth their while to buy a pack or buy at least five or more books.
Oh, that's a good point. Good sales tactic. I know you mentioned nice, like round numbers, multiples of five, which is, you know, for those of us who are more used to selling books online, you know, you want like the 99 cents at the end of the price, cause it makes you think it's lower, but people who are buying in cash, it's easier to have a nice round number. You don't have to make change.
Right. Yeah, and you make it easy for them and make it where they'll buy a bundle or get a few books. Mm-hmm. You'll say, give them a bookmark if they buy two or something. I also have little stuffed animals. One of my books is set in Costa Rica. That's the only one that's not in Houston. Little stuffed monkeys, because there's a monkey in the book. And I said, buy that and you'll get that. And one, she was playing tennis. And so you got a little necklace. That was when I released it. This little tennis necklace with a tennis racket. So I'll do something to encourage them to buy whatever book I want them to purchase or whatever inventory I'm trying to get rid of.
Cool.
Another thing I do is on holiday times, like Christmas, I have a little mini Christmas tree and stockings and decorations I put on. Or harvest time, put little pumpkins or something to make it festive.
Yeah, so you can take that basic setup that you've invested in and kind of tailor it to the situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just thinking again about those nice round numbers and pricing, just something to point out to for listeners that I don't know about other programs like Zelle, but I know that in Square, you can, if you do the math, you can work it out so that with the tax included, it comes to a nice round number. And that's a, you know, that's a helpful bit of math for you to work out to know your base price and your sales tax so that people can just pay in cash and you don't have to make change something that you might want to do in advance.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Right, because with Square, then you have fees too. So I'm trying to move away from that.
Yeah, you do have fees with Square. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about other services, whether they collect or they separate out sales tax for you in the bookkeeping or not.
I don't know.
Yeah. But sales tax is something to think about. You need to collect it, and how much you need to collect is something to look into in advance.
Right, and just include that in your price.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we've chatted for a while a lot of different aspects of doing these live events, especially these early ones that people who are newer to events might take advantage of. Is there anything, any other kind of party thoughts or things that maybe we haven't touched on that we should have?
I think we've covered most of the main points, and my parting comment would be just to have fun with it. Get out and enjoy interacting with the people and sharing the work that you've produced, sharing your art with others. They're excited to see that most of the time when I've been out. A lot of people have not met an author, you know, so they're really excited to see you and learn about what you're doing. So if you have any kind of intimidation or fears about it, you know, don't feel that way. People are really happy to see you out there and they want to learn. They're curious about what the life of a writer is like. And so it's a win-win for everyone. So I'd encourage you to get out there and show your work. And the community loves local authors. So this is a great way for you to introduce yourself to your own community.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for coming on again, Tanya. You've given me a lot of food for thought. So before you go, could you maybe share again with our listeners where we can find you and your books online?
Yes, you can find me on my website at TanyaDuncanEllis.com. That's T-O-N-Y-A, DuncanEllis.com. And on Facebook and Instagram at Tanya Ellis Books, and on Twitter at Tanya D. Ellis.
All right. Well, thanks again for chatting. You've now made me want to look into my local farmer's market whenever things get more open.
Yeah. And get your grocery shopping done and sell your books.
Absolutely. Thanks again for coming on, Tanya.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Book Echoes podcast. As always, I would love to hear from you. So drop me a line, Connie@bookechoes.com. You can also comment on the show notes of this or any episode. Just go to bookechoes.com/show for all the show notes to all the episodes. If you're listening to this the week it comes out, then this episode will be right at the top. You can also give me feedback in terms of a rating or review on iTunes, now called Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, or wherever you listen to. But it's nice to know that you guys are listening and you're enjoying, and what you're not enjoying, so I can do a better job going forward. So until next week, happy writing!